WCCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And we thank you for joining us here today on Crosstalk. Ladies and gentlemen, on Monday of this week, several dozen Texas Democrats fled the state. Legislators abandoned their responsibilities at the Capitol and left their constituents hanging without representation. Their effort is to stop voter integrity legislation in Texas. It's reported that the majority of the members flew to Washington, D.C. on private jets chartered for the occasion, and not just trying to rally support for the federal takeover of elections in states all across this nation that is part of their plan, as well as to get rid of the filibuster. Well, joining us today to address this issue, we welcome back Rick Green, an attorney, a constitutional expert, and a former Texas state representative. He's founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. Rick, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, Jim, good to be back with you, man.
Hey, we saw this happen a few years ago in Wisconsin under then-Governor Scott Walker when the Democrat legislators, they got in their vehicles, they fled the state line and went across to Illinois to avoid votes taken in the legislature on what was known as Act 10. Now we've got legislators defying the federal mask mandate, actually, orders when they get on board this plane. They're supposed to have masks on. They're not. And that shows that a lot of photo documentation. But they're defying the Texas governor. They're defying the Texas legislature, fleeing to D.C. and stopping this legislation from being voted on. Give us your response to what's unfolding here in Texas.
Well, I have to say I'm in the habit of defying the Texas governor myself, as much of a dictator as he's been the last year. But these Texas Democrats, this is all about stopping free, fair, accurate elections. That's nothing new for Texas Democrats. Same story, same political party, sometimes just different century. They've been doing it since 1870. They did it back then to stop blacks from voting. They did it to keep the chaos in the streets in Texas during Reconstruction. And they literally hid out in a room in the Capitol. They did it in 1870. They did it in 1981, 1991, 2003, 1979. They even got a nickname called the Killer Bees. I mean, they love to cut and run. And the bottom line is when they don't have the votes to actually win the day, instead of going back to the people of Texas and having a good persuasive campaign and winning more votes and winning more members of the legislature, that's the hard work. That's what you should do in a representative government. Instead of doing that, they just say, we're going to take our ball and go home. We're going to shut down the republic. Instead of having a legislature, we're going to prevent you from even being able to pass legislation for the people of Texas. So nothing new. They've done it quite a bit. It's typically over voting issues. It's typically over election process. But the worst part, Jim, is all the lies. I mean, the lies about what this legislation does, not only here, but in Georgia and in other states, mm-hmm. where we're simply trying to make sure that every vote counts, and it is not canceled out by cheating. And so what this legislation does is make it easier to vote, harder to cheat, and Democrats are against it.
So let's look at some of the specific provision, because as you notice that there is a lot of misinformation, there's a lot of lies that is going out about this Texas legislation, as well as what's going on even in Arizona and Georgia, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and other locations as well. So talk to us about this Texas legislation. I believe it's House Bill 3, Senate Bill 1. What would this legislation do? How is it going to protect the integrity of the vote?
Well, the two most important things when it comes to making sure you've had a free and fair election and you got it right, that it was accurate, you've got to have transparency. So you've got to have some sort of poll watching process so that both sides can be there to make sure that nobody's cheating. And that's what was not allowed in Detroit. Whenever you lock people out and you block the other side from being able to witness what's happening, everybody's going to have questions about that. They're going to say, well, what are you trying to hide? When you do stuff in secret, it's typically not good stuff. And so that's number one, is just making sure that we can verify who's voting. So that's things like voter ID. It's having poll watchers there. It is not, by the way, I've heard several of the Democrats say, this is going to allow the Proud Boys to look over your shoulder as you're voting. That's absolutely not true. Nobody's going to look over your shoulder as you're voting. They're going to make sure that when you're checking in that a voter ID is given, they're going to make sure that only one ballot is given and that when you cast your ballot and it's put in the box, that's it, you're done. That's the type of things we're trying to secure. So number one on the front end, making sure that everybody is verified as far as who's voting. And then on the back end, making sure that you have some sort of verification process for recounts and that sort of thing when it's close. I've been through that, Jim. I had a recount in my first race for the legislature. 30,000 people voted. I lost by 20 votes out of those 30,000. We had a recount. We got to put our hands on every single ballot, my opponent and I both. We looked at them together with our teams. 30,000 ballots later, I ended up winning by 36 votes.
Hmm.
He could have had another recount under Texas law, and he said, Rick, I don't need to do that. We know we got an accurate outcome. That's how every election should work. Nobody claimed cheating because we had transparency, verification, and legal remedies to take care of it. That's the type of thing we're trying to do with all of these voter integrity bills.
Now, Governor Abbott said Monday that those who fled the state, they're going to be arrested upon return. Is he serious about that?
Well, he doesn't have the power to do that, but the legislature itself does. So we Texans feel so strongly about our legislators doing their job. We put this in the Texas Constitution there in Article 3, Section 10, that if they skip out and they break a quorum, that you can compel them to attend. And that means that they can be arrested and drugged back into the House chamber and locked in that chamber till that work is done. That's been done before. What they have to do, the process for that, is that there has to be a motion on the House floor with the remaining legislators. So in this case, I think you've got like 60 of them that fled the state, 65 maybe. And so the remaining members have to have a motion to put what's called a call on the House or call of the House.
Mm-hmm.
They did that yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
76 voted yes, 4 voted no. And so once that call of the House was made, the Sergeant-at-Arms was instructed to, by whatever means necessary, bring those members back to the House. Now, typically that means the sergeant will ask the Department of Public Safety, so your DPS officers are the ones that actually go out and find them. They cannot go across state lines, no authority outside of Texas, so they can't stop the frat party, the Democrat frat party going on in Washington, D.C. right now, that private jet that took these legislators to D.C. with, as you mentioned, no mask. They love to make orders for everybody else but not follow them themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't get them back from D.C., but look, these are folks with jobs at home, families, all those things. They can't stay there forever, so they got to come back at some point. As long as the governor keeps calling a special session every 30 days, and as long as the speaker and the other members, continue to be steadfast in this, we will eventually get this bill passed.
Yeah, so in essence, right now, they are legislative fugitives, and it's been said that they're going to continue to call a special session after. I mean, they've stated, we're going to stay here until the 30 days is over, but the governor's saying, I'm going to keep calling special sessions after special session until the election of next year, and said they've got to come back eventually.
That's exactly right, man, and that is the kind of courage that we've needed for a long time. I love the fact that courage is contagious. I've not been a fan of this governor for the last year, as he's acted like a dictator and not done things like build the border wall and so many other things.
Mm-hmm.
But because of a primary challenge from some very courageous individuals, Colonel Alan West and Senator Don Huffines, it's been contagious. And now the governor has caught some courage, and he has now. We even got Jim. I don't know if you saw where we were not able to get past no boys and girls sports, that type of thing, even here in Texas. So the governor even put that on the call finally after all the pressure. So I think we're going to see some good things out of this governor over the next few months because of the pressure in the primary, which is just good. That type of competition is good. We should be doing that all over the country. Even someone that goes in as a constitutional conservative type person, they still need to have pressure on them. The public needs to let them know, we're not going to give you a pass. We still want you to do the right thing. So I'm actually encouraged, Jim, to be honest with you, a lot of good things happening, and I think these Texas Democrats have gone too far. I think this time it's really going to backfire on them, especially the pictures of the private jet and the Miller Lite and all that. Bad optics, right?
Exactly. I mean, here they are celebrating. Everybody else, I mean, they're under the federal mandate of the Biden administration as far as people who fly have to do that.
Yep.
People who have to go on a Uber, Lyft, taxi, whatever it may be, has to comply with that. So we've got several of these legislators now. They're gathering. They had a big statement to the press here as well. I believe that was yesterday. And I've got a clip here of Texas Representative Retta Bowers, who proclaimed that they were forced to flee Texas to D.C. I want you to hear the clip, and then we'll have you respond to it. Retta Bowers.
We are here in D.C., our nation's capital, because we want to protect the civil right to vote for millions of Texans. We were quite literally forced to move and leave the state of Texas. We also know that we are living right now on borrowed time in Texas. And we can't stay here indefinitely to run out the clock. That's why we need Congress to act now and pass the For the People Act. Texas Democrats will use everything in our power to fight back. But we need Congress to act now.
Your response.
The For the People Act should be called the For the Politicians Act. But, you know, there's so much disinformation there. I mean, forced to leave. I think Babylon Bee probably got it best with their picture this morning that had a bunch of toddlers on a private jet saying, because our parents wanted us to eat vegetables, we were forced to leave.
Yes.
I mean, it's just beyond the pale, and it's just too much. I really do. I think it's too much for the people of Texas. It's too much, and I'll tell you, Tim, it's too much for the opposition. The Texas opposition to the Democrats, the Republicans, have always played nice. I think too nice. They gave a bunch of chairmanships to the Democrats in the House. That's part of why they were able to stop all of this legislation back in May when it all should have happened back in May. So this was just bad leadership on the Republicans' part. They've always played so nice. And I think what this is going to do is say, you know what? That's fine. Politics is rough and tumble. We're going to stop trying to make you happy, and we're going to pass the agenda that the people of Texas elected us to pass. Now, there's some members already saying, we just need to compromise and give them what they want and get them to come home. Well, you know, appeasement does not work. We know that from history. We know that in politics. So, I mean, forced to leave. But the disinformation, the lies, you know this, Jim, you talk about it all the time. I mean, the lack of morality in the culture is seen in even these types of things.
Where indeed.
Dishonesty is just, it permeates everything the left is saying right now. You listen to Chuck Schumer right now. You listen to President Biden, and they are absolutely lying about what this legislation does. Dishonest with the American people, and most of the media does not call them on it, so they get away with it. We just need truth. It used to be, when I was in the legislature 20 years ago, Democrats had control. But I co-authored bills with Democrats. We worked together great because everybody had some intellectual honesty. We disagreed on things, but when we could find compromise, we did. We didn't lie about each other. Now, man, I mean, truth doesn't matter. And that's what happens when you remove God from the equation and say there are no moral absolutes. Anything goes. Everything's okay. Win at all costs. That's the game plan they're playing by. And unfortunately, it's poisoning the well, and they're going to have to be defeated in order to right the ship.
I've got two clips here, one from Chuck Schumer, one from Joe Biden, that we're going to be playing in our next segment. Time is not going to permit here before the upcoming break. But one thing we do know is that NAACP has come forward, said that they're offering to pay bail, Rick, for those who have left the state and are facing penalties as a result. They said, we'll pay bail.
I hope if they do actually have to go to jail, they can't get bail. Now, back in 1870, when the Democrats were trying really hard to keep blacks from voting, and I want people to hear that, that is the history of the Democrat Party. That's what they're hiding from. That's why their rhetoric is so nasty and so deceptive, because they're trying to hide their own history. But in 1870, when they were trying to stop blacks from voting, and whites, any Republican, really, they spent 3 weeks in jail. Jim, they got these senators that finally got arrested in that little party room over at the Capitol, spent 3 weeks in jail, most of them, and then a few of them, they locked them in the Senate chamber so they'd have a quorum to get the vote. So I doubt that any of them are going to go to jail, but I think they will be forced to get into the House chamber. There is a provision there where as long as they go willingly, you know, there's no handcuffs, there's no actual arrest. We'll see how this thing plays out.
Rick Green with us today. He is a constitutional attorney, or expert and attorney, and former state representative in the state of Texas, founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. We'll have more discussion on this as well as the Biden address after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, how fast does Niagara Falls erode?
Chris, based on historical measurements, the falls has eroded upriver approximately 5 feet per year. In the early 1800s, when Sir Charles Lyell was promoting his millions of years concept, he used Niagara Falls to support his theory. Lyell claimed it was eroding at less than 1 foot per year, thus was tens of thousands of years old. This, he claimed, disproved the Bible. But in reality, Lyell ignored the evidence of rapid erosion. In fact, the erosion rate and the distance of erosion almost exactly points to the Great Flood of Noah's day as the start of erosion of the river's valley. The fact is, Charles Lyell was wrong, and the Bible's still right. It all started back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. With us today is Rick Green. He is the founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy. He's also a former state Texas representative for representing Texas, and knows firsthand the very layout of the legislature there and the history of bills gone by. And again, Rick, you pointed out that it's Democrats that actually tried to stop black voters from voting.
Yeah, that's part of our party history of both parties, Republican and Democrat, that is completely left out today because it's embarrassing to the Democrats. I mean, not only did they fight for slavery and wanted slavery, they're the ones that did all the Jim Crow laws in Texas and other states. They had white-only primaries. They would not let blacks vote in their Democrat primary up until the middle of the last century, in the 1900s even. And so it was actually blacks that founded the Republican Party in Texas. And Republican Party platform, the national platform in 1856 and 1860, was all about equal rights and ending slavery. And so the Democrats have always been the party that wanted to divide based on race. They've always been divisive in terms of trying to put us in separate groups. Today they're doing the same thing with the critical race theory and all of those things. And I'm a principle person, constitution person first. I go with whichever party. That's just a vehicle that's actually moving the right policy forward. But I got to say, the Republican Party history is so much better than the Democrat Party history. And when you look at the way that the elections are conducted, the legislation that's pushed, there is no doubt in my mind, looking at all of these efforts for election integrity across the country, that Republicans are doing the right thing and trying to solidify the process just to make sure that it's fair to everyone. What they're saying is, we want a person in the inner city to be treated the same as out in the country. Everybody should have the same opportunity to vote, and there should not be advantages for one side or the other, which is what happened last time with these election officials changing the rules, blaming COVID. They literally used COVID to break the Constitution.
Yes.
Violated the Constitution.
And I've heard people refer to this, but in essence what you have is the Texas Democrats are, in essence, casting – they're exercising a filibuster of the session in Texas right now. But by virtue of walking out, but now they're pleading for Democrats in Washington to end the Senate filibuster.
No hypocrisy here, is there? No, there's no irony or hypocrisy here. I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. They're leaving Texas using their minority power, essentially a filibuster to shut things down, to go to Washington, D.C. to say, the filibuster's evil. You got to stop the filibuster so that we can rule the country with a 50-50 tie and Kamala Harris breaking the tie on everything. I mean, I think it's just too much. I think the American people are going to see through it. And most people don't pay attention to this kind of stuff normally. But, boy, they are giving a great reason for people to pay attention and get totally turned off. Whether you're turned off to this because it sounds like a bunch of brats throwing a fit and, because they didn't get their way, or it sounds like a bunch of bullies trying to force their way even when they don't have the votes, either one of those is right. And so the people of Texas are not happy with this. And I'll read one phrase to you from what they said in the Senate record when this happened in 1870, that they are participating in a revolutionary, unpatriotic, and disgraceful design and intention of breaking up the Senate, in this case, breaking up the House. Revolutionary, unpatriotic, disgraceful design. That's exactly what the Democrats are doing.
Well, something else that's important to point out in all of this is that the fleeing party claims that voter fraud is not a concern, yet the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, says that there are over 500 voter fraud cases pending in Texas right now and over 300 investigations currently underway, and that's evidence that voter fraud is indeed a serious issue.
It's always been an issue. I mean, we can go back to the 1876 presidential election where some states turned in over 105% voter turnout, which is a little difficult to do. It's always been an issue. Both sides know this. Again, they're being deceptive and using rhetoric just to cover up what happened in November. And, they said for the last 4 years that in 2016 the election was stolen. Hillary Clinton still claims that Donald Trump stole the election from her. But if you even question the outcome in Georgia or Pennsylvania, Arizona, these states that where we know that there was a lot of shenanigans, you get banned from social media. So I had to be careful how I say this, but what Hillary claimed in 2016 was absolutely true in 2020. The evidence is finally coming out. I mean, the things that are coming out of Georgia right now, it's an embarrassment to Georgia, no question about it. I mean, it was a total mess in Fulton County. I think we're going to see some interesting, very interesting numbers come out of this forensic audit in Arizona. So there's no doubt, both sides, you know, you always have to watch both sides. I think
right.
Democrats should be able to watch Republicans in these elections and vice versa. That's the, you know, that's what keeps us honest, right? We're forcing each other to be honest because there's unscrupulous people in both sides. So yeah, I mean, I think to say there's no voter fraud is just denying reality.
Senator Chuck Schumer, he took to the Senate floor calling those who fled Texas. He called them courageous, that he was going to be meeting with them. But I'd like to also just air this clip. It's a minute and a half from Chuck Schumer as he talks about voter fraud, voter integrity laws, et cetera. Here's his take on it, and we'll have you respond.
In a democracy, no right is more sacred than the right to vote. And yet, across the country, Republican-controlled state legislatures are conducting the most sweeping and coordinated attack on voting rights in generations, fueled by Donald Trump's insidious big lie that the election was stolen. In several states, limits have been placed on voting hours, polling locations, and methods of voting. Barriers have been raised to make voting by mail, absentee voting, and after-hours voting, and early voting harder. Republican legislatures are not only making it harder to vote, they're making it easier to steal an election. Actually believe that. Donald Trump does the big lie. Everyone knows it's a lie. And now Republican legislatures are acting on that big lie and saying we could steal an election. What is happening to our democracy? Stripping independent election officials of power, giving partisan election bodies more control, even firing members of county election boards. This is what Republican legislatures are doing. Not for fairness. Not for bipartisanship. But to jaundice elections. And if the consequence is Americans of all parties feel that the elections are not fair, what is going to happen to this sacred and wonderful democracy?
Rick, your response.
Oh, so many things in there that we can talk about, Jim. You know, I mean, first of all, we're not a democracy, we're a republic, but
yes.
But that's the small thing in there. I mean, this is so reminiscent of, and I know we oversay it the last year, but, I mean, this is the Orwellian Ministry of Truth. And in his book, 1984, he predicted this kind of thing where the government would just rewrite history, where they would literally just completely lie to the American people, but they would make sure that that's all the American people heard, so that they, well, it wasn't the American people. You know what I'm saying? So that's where we are now. And I always thought when I read 1984, that'll never happen here because we have so many outlets to find the truth. And the American people would never be so gullible. But, man, I look at the last year and the way we've acted in response to the COVID crackdowns and just bought everything hook, line, and sinker and ignored the science on ivermectin and all these things and allowed the lie. I mean, we are just as gullible as any other group of people in the history of mankind because we have the nature of man and the laws of nature and nature's God don't change. And, man, the things that Chuck Schumer is saying right there, it's like the Ministry of Truth at work. Just complete lies about what the legislation is trying to do. It, of course, makes it easier to vote. Not harder. It makes it easier to vote. It just gives some sort of verification when you do cast that vote. And that's what they're afraid of. They don't want us to be able to see and verify that the people that are voting are legal voters. There's no suitcases of ballots being pulled out in the middle of the night. There's no way to deny the poll watchers from either side. You can't have a leak in the bathroom on the other side of the arena and then send all of one party home, which is what they did in Fulton County on election night. This is all about free, fair, accurate elections. That's what we want. And what they want is the ability to manipulate the process and to hide and whenever they're counting the ballots and not let anybody watch them.
So while we have the Texas legislators abandoning their state and their constituents, flying off across the border and going to D.C., we also have President Biden then taking flight to Pennsylvania to battle against voter integrity laws. And he made a pretty significant claim. I'm going to air it here. He talked about the nation is facing the most significant test of our democracy since the Civil War. Let's listen to him, and then we'll have our guest comment.
So hear me clearly. There's an unfolding assault taking place in America today, an attempt to suppress and subvert the right to vote in fair and free elections, an assault on democracy, an assault on liberty, an assault on who we are as Americans. For make no mistake, bullies and merchants of fear, peddlers of lies, are threatening the very foundation of our country. It gives me no pleasure to say this. I never thought in my entire career I'd ever have to say it. But I swore an oath to you, to God, to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution. That's an oath that forms a sacred trust to defend America against all threats, both foreign and domestic. The assault on free and fair elections is just such a threat, literally. I've said it before. We're facing the most significant test of our democracy since the Civil War. That's not hyperbole. Since the Civil War. The Confederates, back then, never breached the Capitol, as insurrectionists did on January the 6th.
Well, a lot to unpack there, too. I want to comment on, have you comment on a couple issues, but that, I mean, first of all, he's calling those who support voter integrity, he's branding them as being domestic enemies.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. He, you know, and you always gotta really pay close attention when somebody says, this is not hyperbole. I'm not lying to you. You know, man, I mean, you know, to say that those patriots who would question you know, the efficacy of the outcome of counts that they weren't even allowed to watch and computer systems that they couldn't verify, that somehow makes them insurrectionist is just beyond the pale. And to say that this is the biggest threat since the Civil War, did he forget World War I and World War II? Did he forget all of the things that have happened in our country since then, all the lives lost to other battles?
And 9/11?
And then 9/11, the internal strife, I mean, even to compare January 6th, I mean, January 6th was like a frat party at the Capitol compared to the deaths and destruction and businesses burned over the last year thanks to Black Lives Matters and Antifa. I mean, it's they've got the wrong target when they're talking about the insurrectionists. What about 3 years ago when Kavanaugh was appointed and thousands of people overtook the Senate building and violence occurred there and destruction of property and all that, and they got, you know, at the most a couple hundred of them got tickets to misdemeanor tickets, essentially. And yet these people on January 6th have not even been given bail. They've been in solitary confinement. I mean, the abuse, while we let murderers and rapists out on bail and set them free because of COVID, it's just a two-tiered justice system. I never thought I would see this kind of abuse of power, this dishonesty. It's a cancer, and it still goes back to what we talked about before, Jim. It's a lack of morality. I mean, we're seeing the result of 50 years ago saying to our culture, we're not going to have prayer in school, we're not going to have the Bible in school, we're not going to have right and wrong, we're not going to have morality. You can't have liberty if you don't have morality, and that's where this is headed if we don't have a revival and restoration of those morals.
To echo the words of President Abraham Lincoln, we have forgotten God.
Amen.
Wow. We're going to take a quick break and just a little bit more discussion between us here. If you'd like to start getting on board, folks, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. The question after the break, where do we go from here? So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY America Network. Rick Green with us, his website, constitutioncoach.com. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
The film, Unidentified, tells the story of two reporters tasked with getting the answers to the claims of UFO sightings. One reporter is an antagonist toward Christianity, the other, a Christian who is challenged on his beliefs.
I'm asking an honest question here, and according to the guru, the Bible says you have to receive Jesus in your life, so either you've done it or you haven't, so which is it, heaven or hell? Come on, Keith, heaven or hell? Answer the question, heaven or hell?
I don't know.
But I thought you were supposed to be a Christian.
Be challenged by the Rich Cristiano film, Unidentified. Available on DVD for a donation of $12 to VCY America. Additional copies to the same address are available for a donation of just $8 more. For your copies of Unidentified, call 1-800-729-9829.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Rick Green is with us here today. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Website, constitutioncoach.com. You'll find a lot of information there, Rick.
Yeah, I really encourage people. I mean, if you're feeling hopeless or you're feeling, you know, depressed about what's happening to the country, just know that the truth hasn't changed. God's principles haven't changed. Principles of liberty haven't changed. We just have to have a rebirth of them in our nation, and that's what we're doing at ConstitutionCoach.com. We've got 8,000 coaches across the country now that are hosting these classes in their living rooms, at churches, in their, you know, library downtown, wherever you can get people together to go back to the roots and find out what is the truth about how a culture works, what's the Bible say about the solutions to our society, and how we should form our society. And by implementing those truths, we can get back to the good outputs, which is, you know, freedom and liberty and being able to make the choices ourselves, not have government make those choices for us, be able to worship as we choose and not have government shutting down our churches or telling us we can't sing. All of those things, we can do that, but we have to work the system if we want the system to work.
Again, it just seems to so many, and I've heard this from others, that it's as if our nation is coming to a boiling point, Rick, with all of these things coming up. The division is so intense. You have those that are fanning the flames of division, whether it be skin color, whether it be political viewpoints, or whatever the matter may be, that we're approaching this boiling point here, and many are asking, where do we go from here?
Yeah, you're right, Jim, and that division is a Marxist design. That's what they want. See, if they can make us hate each other, make us fight with each other, it makes it easier and easier for government to take over our lives. That's why this critical race theory is so evil. It's so wrong. It's not just teaching the kids to hate each other. It's teaching them to hate themselves, hate their country. It's just evil and wrong. And on the bright side, I am really pleased with the pushback right now. I mean, the parents testifying in the school board meetings, the kids testifying in the school board meetings. I mean, there's a lot of community activity taking place where citizens that haven't been involved in the past, they've just been enjoying the blessings of liberty. They've been good citizens. They've gone to work, taking care of their families, doing those things. But now they're going, wait a minute, I'm going to have to show up at the school board meeting. Wait a minute, I'm going to have to run for the school board. And so now they're getting active all over the country. The left just pushes and pushes and pushes. And now it looks like finally good, you know, red-blooded Americans that love our country, love the Lord, love each other, are finally having to push back.
Let's go to Zach calling in here today, our first caller. Hi, Zach, you're on the air.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment and say, you know, on a state level, it seems like we're definitely in a civil war. And things seem to be pretty intense on that stage. But on the federal level, it seems like the Democrats do whatever they want. You know, it's like two boxers in the ring. They hit high or low, and anytime we try and take a swing, they call foul. And you know, it's been just tough. You know, we try and get this information out, talk to our friends and neighbors and family. But yet a lot of our friends and family just don't seem to want to hear what we have to say. You think we're crazy. And it's been frustrating. You know, the Democrats can say there's 500 genders, and that's believable. But I say something about voting or, you know, or what's taking place in the country, and people look at me like I got two heads. And it's just been hard trying to, bring people to the truth and light, I guess.
Rick?
And, Zach, you're so right, and you are not alone, brother. Millions of people feel exactly what you just described. I hear it over and over and over again. It's one of the reasons these local Constitution classes and biblical citizenship classes have been such a hit, because you end up sitting around being able to chat with people that do care about this stuff and want to talk about these things. And you realize you're not alone, and you realize there's answers to these things. So I just want to encourage you, brother, get one of those classes going. Start getting with people that do care and they want to do something about it. And know this, we don't need everybody to wake up. The Revolutionary War, only 3% fought. That's it. Only 25% were for the revolution, 25% against it, 50%, I'm not even sure they know what happened. So look, it doesn't take everybody. There's a wake-up happening right now. And I do want to address, Zach, what you said about, you know, at the federal level, it just seems like the left is dominating right now. And when our side tries to do anything back, you know, they're playing by a different rule book. I think that's an absolutely accurate description. I think even our folks don't realize what they're up against. They're trying to play, you know, a nice, high school debate while the other side is scratching and clawing in the trenches. And that's why we're being defeated so much on the federal level. this is one of the reasons that I'm like George Mason, who was at the Constitutional Convention at the end of the convention in 1787. He said, we've got to have a way to put the federal government back in its box without the federal government being involved. And so he got an amendment in on September 15th, just 2 days before they finished, that allows for the states to amend the Constitution and overrule the federal government's moves. We did that with the 11th Amendment. We need to do that more often and say to the federal government, get out of our lives. The only thing you're supposed to do is national defense, patents and copyrights, a few minor things like that, and otherwise you do not tell us what to do. Let Texas be Texas. Let California be California. If we don't do that kind of a decoupling and stop trying to make everybody the same, which is what communists do, we're going to go to civil war. There's just no way that we can live together trying to make everyone the same. There's too many diverging views in America. There's too many that are on the way far left living in fantasy land trying to tell us that, you know, men have female parts and females have, trying to allow men to compete in women's, all these crazy things. I can't live like that. I can't abide like that. So if the federal government's going to try to make everybody do that, it's not going to work.
Thank you, Zach. Let's go to Jim, who's calling next. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi, gentlemen. I've just been listening and just really, I think about this stuff a lot. And to hear these politicians stand up there and tell one lie after another, and as believers, they don't even cross our mind to deliberately lie. We know the truth, and we know what the difference between lies and truth are. Mm-hmm. But they tell lies so often, it's at the point where they're actually believing their lies. And I did call my U.S. congressman one time. I was talking to him about it, and at the end I said, you guys are living a lie. And it was just silence. They just had nothing to come back on, and it's just like they need to be confronted. And the term that the spiritual term I look at is, would they be called reprobates? Because they're just believing their lies all the time.
Hmm. Interesting thought. Thank you, Jim. Your thoughts here, Rick?
Yeah, I would say, Jim, they're living out Romans 1, 21 or 22, I'm forgetting at the moment, but professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And I think you're right. I think many times they do believe those lies. I recommend a great book, a new one out last September, I think it was, by Ron Dreher called Live Not by Lies. Actually a quote from a Russian dissident, and I think we've got to start adopting that philosophy as Christians. We can't be a part of the lie. We can't live that lie with them. We have to combat it with truth, and we have to be hungry for truth. We can't just assume that we're getting truth from the newspaper or the TV news or whatever it might be. We're going to have to start searching that truth out, and then when we get that truth, we've got to be willing to speak that truth, and that's kind of the lives, fortune, sacred honor thing. We've got to be willing to participate and say, you know what, people are going to call me names, but I'm going to speak truth from the mountaintops.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate your call here today. I was just reminded, as Paul wrote to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, talking about the last days, perilous times will come, but he wrote this. He said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And there's such a classic example here, Rick, of what we're seeing today. There's deception that is all around, and it has spoken so much that people believe deception is being truth when it's...
Jim, that's such a good verse. Give me that verse again. What was that?
That was 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I just closed
it. I'll find it. 2 Timothy 3. That is so good.
Verse 13.
Oh, you know, I mean, again, all the answers are in the Bible, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We're warned of what's coming, and we're told how to deal with it. But, yeah, I mean, it's so true. They've gotten worse and worse, and so many people are falling for it. And, Jim, of course, you know in the church we're fighting this as well.
Yes.
The wokeism thing and separating each other based on color of skin and really, you know, basically accepting things that the Bible says are clearly sin so that people will like us. It's all about this selfish desire to be loved instead of standing up and being willing to be ridiculed, but standing up for truth. And so we've got to win that battle within the church. How can we be salt and light if we've lost our flavor, if we've lost our ability? So that's where I do think the revival is beginning right now, and what's been good over the last year, that, like we were talking about earlier, there's more and more Christians that are actually saying, "Hey, I'm going to take my faith serious. I'm going to live this out."
Sue is our next caller. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi, I have two questions. Rick, does he have any ideas of how we get those poor people out of the solitary confinement? It must be so difficult. And maybe I was thinking
what people are you referring to, Susan?
What
people are you referring to?
The ones in solitary confinement.
the January.
Arrested by the Capitol.
Oh, okay. January. Okay.
Yeah. And then I haven't forgotten about them. They're I think, one of the most important issues in the United States.
And what is your second question, Susan?
They can do that to them who were invited into the Capitol. They can do that to you when you walk into your own house.
And what is your second question, Susan?
And then my other question is, did you ever listen to the night of the 6th, what I call Make We Republicans said in their speeches? When they gave the concession to not having the 10-day investigation. Listen, if you can.
Susan, we're losing you. Talk right into your mouth, please.
If you can, listen to those speeches given by those Republicans. There are about 8 of them. I heard them on WBBN on the news on that station that night. I listened to every one. In the morning, I woke up. It was Sunday morning night. The first thought I had was, did I have a nightmare? Or was that real?
Thank you, Susan. What about those in solitary confinement, Rick?
Yeah, I'm not sure on the second question you asked, but on the first question, I mean, there are some efforts being made. Believe it or not, even some Democrat U.S. senators have called for an end to that because they see the atrocity in it and the two-tier justice system there. I saw where a family was just arrested a couple of days ago that had been there, five people. And listen, if you're walking into the Capitol over broken glass or you helped to break a window or any of those things, absolutely you should be served justice and it should be fair and it should be not, you know, cruel and unusual and should not be beyond what we do to other people. There shouldn't be a two-tier system. There should be blind justice. But there were, as she said, a lot of people that were literally invited in by the Capitol Police. And I've done probably 100 tours at the U.S. Capitol. I have never seen that security system. Apparatus where you could have done what they did then. There were a lot of things wrong with what happened that day. I don't have a good answer for Susan as far as how you get them out of solitary confinement. We've been screaming about it. They've got attorneys that are trying. You've got judges that are going along with the Department of Justice and the FBI on this. If the FBI would put one-tenth of the effort into stopping the destruction through the riots in the streets across the country that they put into this January 6th investigation, we would have stopped the destruction months and months ago.
We've got Merle calling from Tennessee. Merle, you're on the air.
Yeah, Jim. What I think's happening is I think Obama and his Marxist planners, what they're pushing for is a flashpoint, very much like what happened on the Lexington Green with the Patriots and the British Army. They want to push us into a corner where suddenly we just say, okay, enough's enough, and there's a flashpoint, and something horrible happens. And then we're all painted as bad people, bad guys. We're the bad guys, even though we're God-fearing, American-loving people. We're the bad guys, and then they can do to us just like the rest of them that are sitting in solitary confinement. I know that sounds way off the wall, but I really believe that's the end game.
Okay, thank you, Merle. What do you think about that flashpoint there, Rick?
Merle, I share your concern. Honestly, I had that concern last summer with all the riots in the streets. I was afraid that the good people were going to ultimately respond, possibly overreact, and citizens, just defending themselves, and we end up with a really, really bad reaction from the government to that. So I share your concern. I think that's what they did with January 6th. That was their Reichstag fire from the Germany 1930s.
Thank you for the call here, Merle. We're up against a break. We'll come back to more of your phone calls following. Rick Green with us here for the final segment coming up here as well. Crosstalk here on VCY America. Rick's website, constitutioncoach.com. Back in a minute.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Persecution around the world has been growing, but now it has reached the Western cultures. It's reached Canada and America in growing numbers. A recent report titled, Canada Has Become the Church Burning Center of the World. Well, my friends, this report tells us that at least 23 attacks have been leveled against churches, including at least 5 completely destroyed by fires. And according to one report, Canada's leaders, well, some of them are encouraging it. The head of British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, who claims to, defend civil liberties, reportedly tweeted on June 30th, quote, burn it all down, end quote. There's other articles and other reports coming from those inside the Canadian government that this is actually being encouraged. Persecution. The Bible says it would come. Why should we be shocked?
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America. Rick Green is with us today and a constitutional expert. He's an attorney, a former Texas state representative, and founder of the leadership group Patriot Academy, website constitutioncoach.com. Lines are packed. We're going right back to the phone lines. Holding the longest is Leroy in Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Hi, fellas. I just had some questions about Governor Kemp here in Georgia. How are the Republicans going to change things when you have rhinos like him? I mean, I'm here on the ground, and, you know, the word tells us about, you know, building your house on sinking sand. Well, the pipe burst at State Farm Arena was an outright lie. No parts of the truth are in that. But yet, things are still proceeding, and that voting law that they passed here has absolutely no teeth in it at all.
The legislation passed, you said, has no teeth in it?
No, it's all superficial. The noise you hear from Democrats is just that noise. It's not the law that was passed applies to everyone.
Yeah.
It does not stop black people.
Right.
Or white people or any other kind of people from voting.
Right, right. Thank you, Leroy. And yet there, the noise is very loud about how horrible this is. And I mean, we had President Biden speak out against this just the other day. We saw the All-Star game move to Colorado as a result, Rick.
Yeah, Leroy is spot on, man. God bless you, brother. Georgia, I went there and did a barnstorming tour in December to try to help. In those Senate elections, and it was shameful what Brian Kemp did. I mean, the fact that, and this is a guy that typically has been good on life issues and some other conservative issues, but no backbone when it came to the voting issue. They could have fixed this problem in Georgia in time for those Senate elections. They could have had a special session if he would have just called it, and they could have named the electors themselves because there was so many shenanigans. They had every right to do that, as did these other states. And frankly, Leroy is exactly right. When you build it on sand, when you have these weak-kneed Republican leaders that aren't willing to be a true loyal opposition and fight for truth, then you're going to let the Democrats run over you with the lies and with the deception and the cheating. And so I couldn't disagree with anything Leroy said.
Arkansas, we have Alice calling. You're on the air, Alice.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I've got so many scriptures. One is, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the powers of the rulers of the darkness of this world. I mean, I say everything right, but spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yeah.
I would like to say, especially America where I live, that would Jesus say to us, you've left your first love? Who do we love? Are we trying to please God? And in pleasing God, we should have a reverential fear of God. I think we've left the fear of God. If we would repent, if we would get back to God, loving him, number one, then we could say, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah. Alice, that's a great point. I'm going to have Rick comment on that.
Alice, you're exactly right. I mean, when only 9% of Christians are reading the Bible on a regular basis, we don't love God. We don't love his word. We don't know truth to be able to be good salt and light. So you're exactly right about where it begins. And I love what you said about the fear of God, that respect for him, that respect for his law. That is what we've lost even in the church itself. So I think you have great points.
Thank you, Alice. Greg is next in Tucson, Arizona. You're on the air, Greg.
Yes, I'll just endorse what he said. You know, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom.
That's right.
And my people suffer for lack of knowledge. And I have to say that for years, have been done with the Republican Party. My friend, Dr. Alan Keyes, says it's like a single bird with two different wings. They got the Republican wing and the Democrat wing. You know, I'll give you an example, and I could give many.
Well, just very quickly, we're almost out of time here, Greg.
Republican Senator Scott Brown in Massachusetts, my senator, sent the government to my door to try to intimidate me because I was against Obama. He was pro-abortion, and when he got into Washington, he voted to homosexualize the military. That was a spiritual assault on the military. He's a Republican. Trump appointed him ambassador to New Zealand. This is just what's going on with the Republicans.
Thank you, Greg. Rick.
Yeah, Greg, there's definitely going to be, you know, corruption in any political party because humans are involved. And boy, I share your respect of Ambassador Alan Keyes. My first interview with him was in 1994. I still to this day quote from him in many of my speeches. I love that man. But I'll just say this from a hopeful perspective is that, you know, again, parties are nothing but vehicles. It's who's driving those parties. It's different state to state, depending on the leadership there and depending on the individual. So we're not about party. We're about the principles. We'll use parties to accomplish those principles. That's the design of our system, and has to be for it to work well. But you just don't vote for somebody just because they're of a political party. Certainly you've got some points there with the corruption of both parties. But it's just a machine, and we need to take over that machine. That's part of being Caesar, and that's us. We're Caesar in this system. Mm. If we're going to render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's, we've got to be better citizens.
Yeah.
Get a citizen in this system. You've got to be involved in a political party, and you've got to be involved in voting. And I'll say this last thing because I know you're running out of time, Jim. I just want to encourage people, don't let the bad news get you down. God's still in charge. Our joy is not based on what's happening in the White House. It's based on whose we are, not where we are.
Yes.
And as bad as some of these things are in the White House and the State House, most important thing to work on is what's happening in our own house.
Amen. Amen. We're going to try and squeeze Brad in from West Dallas here on the air, Brad.
Your guest mentioned having to fight the church off. Churches also, excuse me,
mm-hmm.
I'd say they're not churches then. We get our kids out of, well, hopefully get our kids out of public schools when they teach America's bad, all whites are racist, socialism's good, and boys going in the girls' bathrooms is okay. And if you teach and preach the same things at churches because you're woke, well, then they need to be confronted. You need to confront them, and if they don't repent, they're not a church. They probably weren't one to begin with, otherwise they wouldn't have been doing it in the first place, and you need to get out.
Thank you, Brad. We're going to have to leave it right there. Our guest today has been Rick Green, and folks, you can check him out. More information, constitutioncoach.com. Rick, thanks for carving the time to join us today.
Jim, God bless you, brother. Thanks for what you do.
Good to have you with us here today. And, folks, we apologize to those waiting online yet. We've simply run out of time. But, again, the encouragement to be praying for our nation. And, friends, let's be light. Let's share the good news of the gospel with another. It's a life-transforming message. God bless you. Thanks for joining us on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.